Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It's not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind, and they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, we ask that your Spirit will open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to see Jesus and glorify him. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are halfway through Lent, and the lectionary has had us in considering people who have, what I have said, have nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, backed into a corner, between a rock and a hard place. They have dug themselves into a hole that they cannot get out of. Maybe you've been there before. These are moments when reform is not possible. "I'll do better" is not going to work. "Give me another chance." No self-help book in the world can help these people. No power, money, intelligence, success cannot fix it. We do not need a cosmic change. We need a new creation. We began in week one with King David, whose sin with Bathsheba had taken him to this place of nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And David cries out, create in me, bara in me, bara, create in me a clean heart. That is the word from Genesis chapter 1 in the creation story, bara. It's a word that is only used for God. It's not about repair. It's not about improvement. It's bringing something into being that does not yet exist. The problem for David was not what he had done, but what he lacked. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Then we had Nicodemus, whose problem was not so much a great sin that he committed, but he was steeped in religion and in tradition and in good works. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. Must be born again. Nicodemus needed a new birth. Well, how can this be? Says Nicodemus several times. How can it be? How can I go back into my mother's womb and be born a second time? Only the Spirit of God can bring new birth. Last week it was the Samaritan woman and her meeting with Jesus at a well. And the problem that she had was her thirst. She needed a new thirst. Because she was drinking from the water at the well, but would get thirsty again and have to come back for more water. And the Apostle John was showing us that another thirst was being discussed here. That she had another thirst in her life and another way of quenching it. Because we find out that she had six different men in her life. And so she had a thirst that she could not quench, and she needed a new thirst. To come from a new well. To drink new water that never runs dry, that satisfies. And Jesus told her, I am that well. There's a well of living water springing up in you. And he speaks into her life. Come, she says, and see a man that told me everything I ever did. Something new. Something has to be remade, not improved. Archbishop Michael Ramsey said, grace does not merely pardon the sinner, it remakes him. It remakes him. And so today in John chapter 9, for our fourth in this series, there is the man who is born blind, a beggar. We do not know his name. We only know that he is born blind. And words matter, details matter in John's gospel. Born blind. It's an important detail. He's the only one in the stories of the blind that it says this. And so this man does not need a recovery of what was lost, but a whole new illumination. He needs bara. He needs God to create new eyes for him. New eyes. And if you read the whole chapter, our reading cuts some of it out because it's a long one. But if you read all of chapter 9, you would notice that how many times it goes over what happened to him. How many times he has to say, well, okay, this man called Jesus, he spit on the ground, he made clay, he anointed my eyes, and I went to the pool of Siloam and I washed. He tells that four times in the whole chapter. And so we get it that something is being created by the Creator. Like last week, words have different meanings. Words are somewhat cryptic. Things like thirst and water mean something deeper. And this week we find that words such as sight and blindness, light and dark, have a deeper meaning. And the Samaritan woman was moving towards the light in her conversation, in her relationship with Jesus, to the point where the outcast became an evangelist. And we had that picture of an empty water jug sitting there that was her, symbolized all of her previous attempts to quench her thirst in life. It's sitting there, and she has gone off because she found the true water, the true answer to her thirst. And so words have meaning. The beggar also will move towards the light. The first time he talks about Jesus, he refers to him as a man. The second time, as a prophet. And the third time, the Son of Man. And he worships him. And the final sentence of the story gives us the point of the story. The Pharisees say, "Are we blind?" Jesus says, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." And so it's not a story about who can see versus who is blind. It is a story about those who know they are blind and those who claim to see. I'll say that again. It is a story about those who know they are blind and those who claim that they can see. Light is a key theme in John's gospel. In chapter 1, he tells us that in him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In chapter 3, Jesus says, "Light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." And many more times in this gospel, we'll hear about the light of the world. The story is about eyes, new eyes, about seeing. It involves a beggar, his neighbors, the Pharisees, and his parents. They are all spiritually blind. And when we get to the end of the story, the only one who ends up seeing is the guy who got the new eyes. But it's not a seeing of physical things. It's a seeing of spiritual reality. It's a seeing of the situation and who Jesus is. He has eyes that God created. The light reveals what's wrong. The light reveals the flaws, the sin. Niall Williams is an Irish writer. He wrote a novel called This Is Happiness. It's about an old Irish man in a village. His name is Noel, and he's talking about the first time electricity came to this little Irish village of Faha. That's probably not, you know, the Irish, I don't know how they pronounce stuff, but that's probably wrong. But it's spelled F-A-H-A. "Consider this," he says. "When the electricity did finally come, it was discovered that the 100-watt bulb was too bright for Faha. The instant garishness was too shocking.
Dust and cobwebs were discovered to have been thickening on every surface since the 16th century. Reality was appalling. It turned out Sine Doon's fine head of hair was a wig, not even close in color to the scruff of his neck. And Marion McGlynn's healthy allure was, in fact, a caked makeup the color of red turf ash. In the week following the switch on, store owner Tom Clossy kept mirrors in stock as people came in from out of the country and bought looking glasses of all variety, went home, and in merciless illumination endured the chastening of all flesh when they saw what they looked like for the first time. Jesus reveals the darkness, their blindness. Now, there are several forms of blindness in the story that we'll look at briefly. Notice the one that hits us right away is the fact that here they are, the disciples, the religious leaders, they're somewhere around the temple, I presume, and here they all are, and they're going through, and nobody notices this guy. Only Jesus notices this guy. They missed it. They missed somebody in need. How does that happen? Totally, totally blind to the needs of others. The second blindness that they have is that the disciples immediately want to know what this guy did to deserve this. Why did this happen? Who sinned? Did he sin or did his parents sin? And we're always trying to make sense of a dark world. Whose fault is it? Is it something I did? Is it something my parents did? Somebody else? Society? Maybe I should blame the Republicans. Maybe the Democrats. I don't know. But you see, they were blinded because it's a fallen world. It's a fallen world. Jesus is not oblivious to the situation. They wanted to know the cause. They wanted to know, why did this happen? Now, the third blindness was, and this got Jesus in trouble all the time. He did this on the Sabbath. Oh my, did that make them mad? They were out picking husks of corn and wheat on the Sabbath, and there were several people that were healed on the Sabbath. And boy, you know, the guy carried his mat on the Sabbath. Oh my. Now, do you know what the Talmud is? Talmud, that's a word that means study. A long time ago, Jewish leaders got together and they looked at the law in the first five books of the Old Testament. And they said, well, you know, that gives us kind of a rough idea. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. But we really need to fine-tune it. You know, we really need to dig in there and get to the specifics of it. And so they began to get together and study and meet, and it took them around 500 years, okay, to hash this out. And one of the biggies was, what can you do on the Sabbath? And if you look in the Talmud now, they have 39 categories, not things, but these are just the categories, 39 categories of what cannot be done on the Sabbath. I mean, it's down to, can you actually tear toilet paper? You should pre-tear your toilet paper the day before the Sabbath, so because tearing it would be a sin. Now, these guys got together and discussed this. Now, you think Anglicans take long? You think Anglicans have meetings and conferences and are trying to hammer? Man, these guys would go on for years. James Michener, in his novel called The Source, tells of rabbis who met every day for a year to discuss pruning. Pruning. They met 9 years on one verse in the Old Testament. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. You know, they have this division between milk and meat and the dietary laws. And he refers to them meeting 9 years to discuss that statement. You see, they were blinded. Blinded. Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel was what was going on here. Minutia, details, the little things had blinded them. Jesus called them in Matthew 23, blind guides. Skepticism, unbelief was another blindness that we see. The neighbors, they knew who he was. They knew what happened. He'd lived there his whole life. But we don't know. We're not sure. You know what? We got to have some more meetings about this. We got to have some more conversation. Right? Let's discuss it more. Let's gather some more knowledge. I'm just not sure yet about what happened. Fear. The part of the story about his parents is left out. But the Pharisees actually called the man in. Then they called his parents in. And then they called the man in again. You know, because they want answers, right? They want answers to their questions. And the parents were afraid. It says, he's our son. We know he was blind. Why he sees, we don't know. You ask him. He's old enough. And it said this. They said this for fear of being cast out of the synagogue. Pride. A loss of their authority is another blindness that we see, because they knew they had all of this authority and they were in charge, and they knew that only God gives sight, only God gives new eyes, and if this man did this, he is God. I have to obey him. I have to listen to him. I'm going to lose my authority. When do those new eyes come for the man? When does seeing begin for him? Well, it doesn't happen at the beginning, right? It seems like right up front in the story, Jesus makes those eyes, and you think, well, that's when he starts to see. No, the seeing comes at the end of the story, right? He's rejected by his neighbors. He's rejected by his parents. He's rejected by the Pharisees, and he's booted out of the synagogue. I mean, he's ostracized. This is nowhere to go, nowhere to run. You know, what do you do? He's got no money. He's got nothing. And Jesus finds him. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he that I might believe? He that's speaking to you is he. I believe. I believe. True seeing and new eyes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.